Take your Bibles with me, please, and open to the Gospel of John, chapter 7 and verse 17. John 7, 17, as Brother Nate said, a beautiful verse. So far, we've gone through about 6.5 chapters of the Gospel of John. And we have seen the beauty of Jesus Christ and the beauty of the Gospel in every chapter. We've seen the beauty of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Word, God come in the flesh to dwell among us. We've seen the beauty of what Christ did, right? Countless signs like turning water into wine, which is the first one in John chapter 2. And many others, so many that John says at the end of the book, if the books were written of all the signs that Jesus did, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books. So we've seen the beauty of who Christ is. We've seen the beauty of what Christ did. And we have seen the beauty of what Christ taught. You must be born again, John 3. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth, John 4. The Father has committed all judgment to the Son, John chapter 5, so that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. I am the bread of life, John chapter 6. We've seen the beauty of who Christ is, what he did, what he taught, and most of all, how he loved. How he loved sinners like us. How he loved even unbelievers who wanted to kill him. We've seen all of it here. It's all beautiful. And today we come to John 7:17. I've been bursting at the seams for a couple of weeks to share this verse with you. It's one of my most favorites. And I hope today it will become one of yours. Our text is John 7:17. And the title of the message this morning is The Beauty of John 7:17. And we're going to look first at the beauty of the context, then the concern of John 7:17, then the condition, and finally the compensation. You should leave with at least four beautiful truths from John 7:17. The context, the concern, the condition, and the compensation. Let's read it. John 7:17. If anyone wills to do his will, go ahead with me, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. I want you to see first the context, the beauty of the context of John 7:17. Who is speaking in this verse and to whom? Jesus is speaking here to unbelieving Jews who wanted to kill him. That's who he's talking to. That is unbelievable. You remember that from verse 1? After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he didn't want to go to Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. He went to Judea anyways. Here he is now in Judea at the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles. And in the middle of the feast, as you recall, verse 14, he went up into the temple and he began teaching. And the Jews who wanted to kill him were astonished. The gall of this man. The audacity. Who is he? Who does he think he is? And they basically say as much in verse 15. The Jews marvel. This is not a good marveling. They're shocked that he would stand in the temple and teach as though he was a teacher of the Jews. And they said to the crowd, how does this man know letters having never studied? Why should we listen to him? As if to say, what are his credentials? Jesus gives them no credentials. He just tells them the truth about his doctrine. Beginning in verse 16, Jesus answered and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. And the obvious question is, how could anyone ever know that? John 7:17. If anyone wills to do his will, he will know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Jesus here is speaking the truth in love to Jews who are lost, to Jews who do not know the truth, to Jews who are blind and on their way to hell, to Jews who are not doing the will of God but think that they are. And Jesus tells them, if anyone is willing to do his will, the will of the one who sent Jesus, then he will know concerning the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Jesus is speaking the truth in love to unbelievers. Why? in order that they might be saved. We saw this beautiful thing back in John chapter 5. If you remember, back in John 5, we saw the same thing. The Jews were seeking to kill him because he made himself equal with God. Jesus then goes into this long discourse about his equality with God and how all judgment is committed to him and how he is going to determine who rises from the dead unto eternal life and who rises from the dead unto eternal condemnation. And he says, John 5, 34, I say these things to you in order that you might be saved. That's the context. Jesus Christ speaking the truth in love to unbelievers who want to kill him in order that they might be saved. That's beautiful. And by way of application, let me ask you, are you like Jesus? Would you speak the truth in love to your father, to your mother, to your brother, your sister, family members who are going to hate you for it, who are going to cast you out, who are going to condemn you and criticize you and call you all kinds of names? Would you be willing to speak the truth in love to them in order that they might be saved? I hope so. And if you do, it's a beautiful thing. And you know what? And if you suffer persecution, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Jesus spoke the truth in love to unbelievers. That's the context here. And so should you. Point two, the concern. Notice the concern of John 7:17. This is beautiful. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine. That is the concern of John 7:17. This verse concerns Christ's doctrine. Doctrine is another word for teaching. How much of Christ's doctrine does this verse concern? All of it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Legend of the Romans. We sang it last time. We don't have to sing it again. But I'm telling you, from Matthew to Revelation, this verse, John 7:17, concerns all the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the entire New Testament. And not only that, this verse concerns all the doctrines within all of those letters, within all those Gospels, 27 books in the New Testament, right? All of it is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and this verse concerns all of it. It concerns all of Christ's doctrine concerning God and man and sin and salvation, the church and the end times and how to live. And I gave you this last time, I'll repeat it here. This concerns all of Christ's doctrine concerning heaven and hell, salvation and judgment, angels and demons, good and evil, truth and error, evangelism and discipleship, grace and compassion and mercy and forgiveness and love. That's a short list. This verse concerns all the doctrine of Jesus Christ concerning abortion, anger, anxiety, bad company, bitterness, comfort, compromise, contentment, death, decision-making, depression, discernment, eternal life, faith, fear, forgiveness, giving, gossip, guilt. And that's only through the letter G, but you get the point. We could go all the way to Z, I think. This concerns all of it. All of those subjects, all of Christ's teaching on all of those subjects is the concern of this verse, but more specifically and more beautifully, if you ask me. It not only concerns all of those subjects and all of that doctrine, but it concerns how can anyone ever know that all of it is coming from God? How can anyone know that your religion isn't just another religion? How can anyone know that your book is not just like any other book? How can anyone know that Christianity, true Christianity, is the one true religion in the universe? How can anyone know? Jesus, in one verse, is answering that question. That is the concern of John 7:17, and that is a beautiful thing if you're a Christian. Because think about it. How many of you, in some setting, at some time or another, you teach the Bible? That should be all of you. If you're teaching your kids the Bible, you teach the Bible. If you ever share the gospel with anyone, you teach the Bible. How can anyone ever know that what you are telling them is coming from God? This verse answers that question. That's incredible. And the number one, think about how relevant this is. The number one, I would argue, objection of the unbeliever to anything you ever have to say about Jesus Christ is, why should I believe you? This verse is the answer. This is the answer they need to hear. So listen, beloved, if you're a preacher, Sunday school teacher, Bible study leader, small group leader, Awana leader, ladies Bible study leader, Christian parent, Christian grandparent, a Christian in almost any capacity, if you're an evangelist, if you're a discipler, you are going to teach truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ out of the New Testament. How can anyone know concerning your doctrine, whether it is from God or whether you are speaking on your own authority? That is the concern of John 7:17. That is what you must tell your children. You must teach this to your grandchildren. Otherwise, they're going to think, well, that's just what you believe, Grandma. That's just your interpretation, right? That's the number one objection. That's just you. That's just what you believe. That's just your interpretation. Your book's like any other book. No, it isn't. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know concerning this doctrine that is from God. Jesus says, whether it's from God or whether, he knows. John 7:16. My teaching is not my own. It's the teaching of him who sent me. Ah, this is beautiful. This is beautiful, beloved. Jesus Christ is applying here, as he does everywhere throughout his ministry, and as you must also, Jesus Christ is applying the principle of Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him, meaning don't leave the Bible. Don't neglect the wisdom of God. Answer a fool according to his folly, so that he will not be what? Wise in his own eyes. Jesus Christ, so consistently, always is answering the truth that confronts the error. Somebody says to you, well, it's just another book. John 7:17 is the truth that confronts that error. No, it is not. Right? You've got to learn to apply the wisdom of Proverbs 26. You don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Don't neglect Scripture. Instead, you answer a fool as his folly deserves, with the rod of correction, so that he might not be wise in his own eyes. And that rod of correction is the truth that exposes error. All you need to do is hear the error. Jesus heard it in verse 15. How does this man know letters, having never studied? Why should we listen to this man? What are his credentials? And those Jews are trying to convince the crowd to stop listening to Jesus, and Jesus answers. Everything from 16 down is Christ's answer to that error. And it begins with, my teaching is not my own, but his who sent me. And if anyone wills to do his will, he will know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. That is the concern of this verse, how anyone can know. That is beautiful. Beautiful if you ask me, but point three, the condition. Notice the condition of John 7:17. It is beautiful. If anyone wills to do his will. How many conditions do you see here? Hold up this finger. One. There's not five. There's not ten. There's not one and a half. One condition. And that one condition, it's just for special people. Only for a certain kind of people. It's only if you're a certain age. No. It's a condition that's universal. It is not only for people of a certain age. It doesn't matter how old you are. It's not only for people of a certain race. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, or where you were born, or where you come from, or what language you speak. It's not for one gender. It's for male or female. There's only two genders. It doesn't depend on nationality. It doesn't depend on social status. If anyone, that's universal, and that's beautiful. Not only that, it's individual, if anyone. That means, listen, if you are willing to do his will, you will know. Wow. One condition. Now look again at the condition, because this is beautiful. Jesus says, if anyone is willing to do his will. Now, and I'm going to say, whose will? What do you think? God's. Okay, you're going to say God the Father's. But it is a little bit more specific even than that. Look at verse 16 again. Jesus answered and said to them, my doctrine is not my own, but whose? His who sent me. And 17 says, if anyone wills to do the will of the same. Now, this is a huge hint, okay? Jesus doesn't just say if anyone's willing to do God's will. We'd be left with saying, well, you must mean like keep the Ten Commandments or something else. No. It means if anyone is willing to do the will of the one who sent Jesus. And that raises the obvious question, what is the will of the one who sent Jesus? Well, I'll tell you what. From John's gospel, the answer could not be more clear. Believe. John 1, 6 and 7, 3, 15 to 18, 5, 46, 6, 29, 6, 35, 6, 40, 6, 47, 6, 51, 10, 37 and 38, 11, 25 and 26, 12, 36, 44 and 46. And then I'm just going to skip to the end, 20, 31. And a lot of other places. The will of God is so crystal clear. Believe Jesus Christ. Believe in the one he sent. Turn back, though, to two of them. John 6, 29. Remember the Jews, they're not believing him. He multiplied bread and fish and fed the 5,000 plus women and children, probably fed 20,000 people. They come looking the next day for food. Jesus says, don't labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts to eternal life. And they say, oh, what work must we do that we can work the works of God? John 6, 28. Look at 29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's it. Do that work. Only that's the work of God, of course. Or look down at 640. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus, speaking to these same people who still do not believe, says to them in John 7, 17, if anyone wills to do his will, he will know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. The one single, universal, beautiful condition for knowing the truth about all of Jesus Christ's teaching in all of the New Testament is faith. That's it. If anyone is willing to put their faith in Jesus, if anyone is willing to trust Jesus, if anyone is willing to believe Jesus, he will know concerning the doctrine. Now that should sound familiar to you. I'll tell you why. I want you to turn back for a moment to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Jesus is saying exactly what Solomon taught his children. And I know you know where I'm headed. Right? You know where I'm headed? Maybe not. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. What is the beginning of knowledge? The fear of the Lord. It's exactly what Jesus is saying. If anyone is willing to... Fear of the Lord is an Old Testament expression for faith. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But, unfortunately, fools despise wisdom and instruction, including that wisdom. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, all of that adds up to one condition, if you believe. That's what that's all saying. If you believe that this is the word of God, you're going to treasure it, you're going to listen, you're going to incline your ear, you're going to say, help me understand this. You're going to look for understanding. If you do that, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Jesus is not creating some new complex condition. He's not saying, we're back in 7:17 now, he's not saying if anyone wills to keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. If anyone is willing to do the will of God, which is trust Jesus, believe the one he sent, fear the Lord, then he'll know. Got to love Derek Kidner when it comes to Proverbs. On Proverbs 1:7, he says this, the beginning of true knowledge, the first and controlling principle always, is not a right method of thought, but a right relationship to God, a worshiping submission, a fear toward the God who has revealed himself by name, and here, who's revealed himself in person. God requires faith before he gives knowledge. Refuse to believe, remain in the dark. I was given a beautiful illustration of this by Brother Dan Wontuck. Dan and Bruce and Laura, thank you for the beautiful music this morning. It's always great seeing Dan over there at the keyboards. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? And we were at Table Talk, and Dan, where is Dan Wontuck? There he is, sitting up front. Okay, Dan, you're not in your usual spot. I didn't see you there. You can relate to me. Hey, he's okay with those jokes. He and I joke back and forth about this. But he gave me a great illustration of this at Table Talk. I simply made the statement, we were talking about John 7:17. If you didn't know, they helped me with a lot of my sermons, so thank them and thank God if I ever preach a good sermon. If it's bad, blame me. I said, you know, faith precedes knowledge. John 7:17. And Dan Wontek said, every blind man will tell you that that's true. And he said, walk into a room and let's say that we all know where all the furniture is and Dan comes in and he doesn't. Well, Dan, if you're willing to trust me, then you will know where the furniture is too. Right? So I'm going to lead you around. I'm going to say the piano's over here, and up here's the pulpit. And if Dan is willing to trust, if the blind is willing to trust the seeing, then under that one condition, he will know where things are because you're going to show him. Beloved, we are just like that. We're the blind who need to see. Jesus Christ came down from heaven to tell us things that are heaven. And no one has ascended into heaven except for the Son of Man who came down from heaven and who is in heaven. Jesus, by saying that in John 3:13, was saying, he is the ultimate authority on all heavenly things. How can you know that? You have to be willing to believe. And if anyone is willing to do the will of the Father, he will know. Man, that's the beautiful condition here. John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he's revealed him. How could you know him? Believe. Believe, that's it. One condition. This is essentially the same teaching of Psalm 25:9. The humble God guides in justice. The humble God teaches his way. Psalm 25:12, who is the man who fears the Lord? That one he will teach in the way that he chooses. Beautiful truth. But there's more. Point four. And this is the capstone. The compensation, the reward. Look at the payoff here. It's big, it's huge, it's incalculable, it's beautiful. What is it? Take a look. If anyone wills to do his will, what? He will know. Not he will think maybe. Not even he will believe. He will know as a fact. He will know concerning the doctrine, concerning all the doctrine of Christ. Concerning all the New Testament, concerning all the gospel, and concerning all of Jesus' teaching on every single subject that he ever taught on, he will know concerning the doctrine. Then Jesus says, whether it's from God or whether I speak on my own authority, whether this comes with divine authority or whether this comes with merely human authority, whether you must pay attention to it and obey it or whether you can disregard it as the wisdom of men. Under one condition, you can have the knowledge that will change your life for eternity. If anyone is willing to do his will, is willing to do God's will concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, which is to believe. If anyone is willing to believe Jesus, he will know the truth concerning all the doctrine of Jesus. And what is the truth? It's all from God. It's all from God. Beloved, this is way better than the lottery. It's way better than the lottery. What blessings in Christ can you buy with money? Can you buy forgiveness of sins? Absolutely not. Can you buy eternity in heaven? Absolutely not. Can you buy mercy and grace and compassion and an eternal inheritance and a fellowship with brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ that lasts forever? Absolutely not. No amount of money would ever buy you what Jesus Christ is saying here. He will give you knowledge of the Holy One, which is eternal life, under one condition. If anyone is willing to do the Father's will and believe his Son. You meet that one condition, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the truth will set you free from the bondage of the lies of the devil and all sinful men who teach lies. And beloved, there are many antichrists in the world today teaching lies. Meet this one condition, if anyone is willing to do the will of the Father and believe his Son, and you will know the truth that sets you free and protects you forever. That is beautiful, beloved, and it's life-changing. I know because it has changed my life. Knowing Jesus Christ has changed my life radically in every single way for the better forever And I've seen it do the same for my precious wife and for my children and for so many of you. This is the good news, beloved. If anyone is willing to believe in Jesus Christ, he will know concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ that it's from God and there is no other. So what about you? Do you know the truth concerning all the doctrine of Jesus Christ? How many of you would say, you grab this, doesn't even matter if you grab the whole thing, because this doesn't apply just to the New Testament. You grab this, how many of you would say, I know that this is from God? Yeah. You know how you know that? It is not because you went to Jerusalem and saw the empty tomb, even if you did. That's not how you know it. It is not because you went to wherever they're keeping all the manuscripts these days. It is not because you assessed all the evidences for the existence of God, weeded through them all, and you saw all the evidence for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, you know by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That is how you know. And it's just the same with the apostles. Turn back to John 6. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. Verse 68, look at this. It's beautiful. Jesus said to his disciples, maybe you want to go away too. Do you want to go away? Do you want to leave Christ? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Now look at verse 69. And we have come to what? Believe, that's first. And what? Yeah, you see the order there? That's not by chance. We have come to believe first and know second. As a consequence of believing, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. No, it's by faith that we know. Heard this verse this morning, right? Hebrews 11:3. By faith we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. And beloved, by faith we know the truth about creation and every other truth that we know in Jesus Christ. Think about it. We know that the worlds were framed by the word of God. How much of the world does not know that? How do we know that? By faith in Jesus Christ. Same with the gospel. So listen, if you're here this morning and you know that the doctrine of Jesus Christ is from God, step one, praise God. Step two, rejoice in the truth. And step three, make use of John 7:17. This is the truth the world needs to hear. How many people in the world have never heard this? They've never heard the answer to their objection, which is, why should I listen to you? Why is your religion any different than anybody else's? Your book's just the same as everyone else's. John 7:17. They need this verse. This is powerful. This is wielding the sword of the Spirit in a way that cuts. You know, neighbor, I know you're an atheist, and we don't believe in atheists. But if anyone is willing to do the will of God, he will know concerning the doctrine of Jesus Christ that it's from God. He'll know that Christianity is the only true religion. He will know that there's no way to be saved but through faith in Jesus Christ. He will know there's no other sacrifice for sins except Jesus Christ. He will know that Christianity is the one true religion. He will know that every other religion is false. He will know there's no such thing as atheists. Under one condition, if you're willing to believe. And what if you don't know? Well, sakes alive, that leads to a point five. The conviction of John 7:17. The conviction of John 7:17. Jesus here is speaking to Jews who are questioning his teaching, wanting to kill him, but they believe that they're doing the will of God. By saying to them, if anyone wills to do his will, then he'll know. What is he saying? They're not doing the will of God. With this one verse, he is convicting them as being guilty of being unwilling to do the will of the Father. And you say, well, gee whiz, whose will are they doing? Turn over to John 8 for a second. I know we're almost done. John 8:43, we're going to see this when we get there. Jesus says to Jews who want to kill him, he says, why do you not understand my speech? Get it? Why don't you know? Well, why don't you have knowledge? Why don't you get it? What is wrong with you people, he's saying to them. Why don't you understand my speech? Here's the answer. It's because you're not able to listen to my word. Why not? You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you will to do, literally. Wow. This is the conviction of John 7:17. By simply stating, if anyone is willing to do his will, he'll know. If you say that to somebody who doesn't know, the Spirit can use that to convict them of the fact that they are unwilling to do the will of God, which is not an intellectual problem. It's a moral one. Jesus here is condemning all unbelievers who have heard the gospel and rejected it as immoral. Their immorality is they are not willing to do the will of God. Beloved, unbelievers need to hear this truth. It's beautiful. And really, we've only scratched the surface. I got to add a sixth and a seventh really quick. I know. Like, it'll take 30 seconds. The crux of John 7:17 and the Christ of John 7:17. See where he says, if anyone is willing to do his will, he will know concerning the doctrine. What is the heart of the doctrine? It's the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. And who is saying that? Christ himself. You could read it this way. If anyone wills to do his will, if anyone wills to believe, he'll know concerning the doctrine, and he will definitely know concerning the cross of Jesus Christ, that it's from God and that there's no other way to be saved. That's the crux of this verse, and the one speaking it is the Christ, the only one who could ever save you from your sins. Beloved, if you know the truth of the gospel, rejoice in the Lord, praise God, and use it to tell others. Be like Jesus Christ. Be willing to speak to unbelievers, even if it costs you your relationship with them. And if you're here today and you do not know the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't know that this is from God, you are guilty before God of being unwilling to do his will, and your only way out is to repent. And you can do that right now. Say, Father, forgive me. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word, which is rich, it's beautiful. We thank you for this great verse and for Christ teaching it to us. And Father, we thank you that we know concerning the doctrine of your Son Jesus that it's all from you. We praise you and thank you for that. Thank you for opening our blind eyes to receive your Son as our Savior. And if there's anyone in this place today, Father, who does not have salvation, may today be the day. Save that sinner today, Father, to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.